In this session, we shall look at how we deal with rollover relief when an asset is partly used for business and partly used for non-business purposes. As a general principle, rollover relief is only available on the business element of an asset. The way we deal with rollover relief is to treat the part used for business and the part used for non-business purposes as separate assets. Having calculated the business element of the capital gain, rollover relief will be available to defer all or part of this gain. However, the non-business element of the gain will be fully chargeable and no rollover relief will be available. In addition, we must also consider whether the new asset, i.e. the replacement asset, is being fully used for business purposes. Where the new asset is partly used for business and partly used for non-business purposes, we must look at the amount reinvested in the business element of the asset only, as this will determine the amount of rollover relief a taxpayer can claim. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Here we have a taxpayer who bought a property for £160,000 in May 1987. He uses 75% of the building for business purposes, whilst the remaining 25% of the property is a flat which is being let out and is not therefore used in his business. The taxpayer sells the whole of the property for £400,000. We will therefore calculate two capital gains, by treating the business element and the non-business element as separate assets. To calculate the business gain, we simply take 75% of proceeds and deduct 75% of cost, giving us a gain of £180,000. We do likewise with the non-business element, i.e. the flat, giving us a gain of £60,000. A few months later, the taxpayer replaces the property by buying a new building for £350,000. As you will see from the screen, 80% of the new building is used for business purposes and 20% is used for non-business purposes. The taxpayer has sold a business asset and replaced it with another. Therefore, he can claim rollover relief. However, it is only the business gain on the old asset, that is part of the £180,000, that will qualify for rollover relief. The gain of £60,000 on the non-business asset will be fully chargeable, and no rollover relief will be available. The next stage is to calculate how much of the gain of £180,000 may be rolled over. We have seen that an old asset has been sold and replaced by a new asset, and that the new building in total costs £350,000. As always, to calculate the amount of rollover relief available, we must work out how much of the business proceeds from the old asset have been reinvested in the new asset. We know that 75% of the old asset was used for business and 25% of the old asset was used for non-business purposes. The original asset was sold for £400,000, which is £300,000 for the business element and £100,000 for the non-business element. We treated these as separate assets for CGT purposes and calculated separate gains on the business and non-business elements of £180,000 and £60,000 respectively. As far as the new asset is concerned, 80% is used for business and 20% is used for a non-business purpose. We therefore need to split the cost of the £350,000 into business and non-business components. Essentially, the taxpayer has bought two assets, a business asset for £280,000 and a non-business asset for £70,000. To work out the amount of the rollover relief, we must compare the business proceeds received with the amount of business proceeds reinvested. The taxpayer received £300,000 on the sale of the business element of the old asset. He reinvested £280,000 on the business element of the new asset. The business proceeds retained are therefore £20,000. This £20,000 is the chargeable gain. Therefore, of the business gain of £180,000, £20,000 is immediately chargeable, so the remaining £160,000 can be deferred by a rollover relief claim. This rolled-over gain reduces the base cost of the new business asset, which now becomes £120,000. No rollover relief is available to defer the non-business gain on the old asset, so the gain here will be £60,000. As no rollover relief can be claimed, the base cost of the new non-business asset remains at £70,000. The total base cost of the new asset is therefore £190,000. We add the two gains together to give a total chargeable gain on the sale of the old asset of £80,000. This can sometimes appear a little complicated, but where an asset is partly used for business and partly used for non-business purposes, as in this scenario, the trick is always to treat these as two separate assets for rollover relief purposes. If you keep in mind that you have two separate assets and apply the basic principles of rollover relief, hopefully you'll get the correct answer. If a trader sells an old asset, then uses the money to buy more than one qualifying asset, the trader can allocate the rollover relief in any way he chooses. Here we have a trader who decides to sell an old asset and reinvest his proceeds in two qualifying assets. Here the sale proceeds from the old asset have been used to purchase a building and some fixed plant and machinery. The original asset was sold for £200,000, giving rise to a capital gain of £80,000. The replacement building cost £90,000, whilst the fixed plant and machinery cost £80,000. As far as our calculation of the rollover relief is concerned, the first thing to do is to work out how much of the sale proceeds have been reinvested. The trader received £200,000 from the sale of the old asset and has spent £170,000 in acquiring new qualifying assets. The gain chargeable now is £30,000, being equal to the cash retained. Therefore, of the gain of £80,000 on the sale of the old asset, £30,000 is chargeable immediately, leaving £50,000 to be deferred under the rollover relief rules. The next thing to think about is what do we do with this deferred gain of £50,000? Here the trader has two choices. The £50,000 could be rolled over and reduce the base cost of the new building. Alternatively, because the trader has reinvested part of his proceeds in a depreciating asset, that is the fixed plant and machinery, the trader could choose to freeze the gain of £50,000. Given the choice, the trader will often prefer to roll over the gain and allow it to reduce the base cost of the new building. The new building now has a base cost of £40,000. This may be a more preferable alternative to freezing the gain because under the depreciating asset rules, this frozen gain can only be postponed for a maximum of 10 years. Having rolled the gain of £50,000 against the base cost of the replacement building, this gain will only become chargeable on the ultimate disposal of this building. There may sometimes be a case for choosing to freeze the gain rather than claiming normal rollover relief, so you should always take into account the facts and circumstances of each case before making a decision. Therefore, having made a gain on the disposal of an original asset, the amount of the gain that can be deferred depends on how much of the sale proceeds have been reinvested in total within the 4-year time window. The proceeds do not have to be reinvested in one single qualifying asset. Let us finish this session by attempting a practice question. Let us first calculate Tamsin's capital gain on the sale of the original office. We are told that 2/3 of the office was used for business purposes and 1/3 of the office was let out. We therefore need to regard the business and non-business elements as separate assets and calculate two capital gains. The capital gain on the business element is £100,000 and the gain on the non-business element is £50,000. Tamsin bought a replacement asset, a storage unit, in December 2009. Rollover relief is allowed because the purchase was in the 12 months preceding the date of sale. However, only the business gain, i.e. £100,000, will qualify for rollover relief. The non-business gain of £50,000 will be immediately chargeable. As always, the first thing we need to do is to work out how much of the business proceeds have been reinvested. The business element of the office was sold for £180,000. £150,000 of the proceeds were reinvested in the replacement asset, leaving £30,000 of cash retained. The cash retained is the chargeable gain. Therefore, of the business gain of £100,000, £70,000 can be rolled over, leaving £30,000 chargeable. The non-business gain of £50,000 does not qualify for rollover relief. If we add the two gains together, Tamsin's total chargeable gain is £80,000. This completes this session on further aspects of rollover relief and is the last of the 3 sessions on rollover relief generally.